For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a special peace that comes along with that. The Lord guides us and directs us. There's a safety that the world doesn't understand. And as we serve the Lord with our lives, they'll see that and they'll know there's a difference. And they'll turn and question at least. I saw this in a actual bulletin, church bulletin announcement. This afternoon we'll be meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. That's a cute one there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for special moments like these, to being able to dedicate our children to you, and how important that is, that we dedicate not only our lives, but those who we speak into, those who we raise up. Lord, I thank you for the blessings of these parents having these children to do that. Lord, help us as we speak into our brothers and sisters that we have dedicated our lives to you, and to let you move through us in such a way that people know there's no question of who we live for and who we stand for till we see you in glory. And all God's children said, amen, amen. We've been going through Philippians, and we're in Philippians 2, 16 and 18. Is the verses we'll look at today, but we're going to touch upon a few phrases that have come forth. So in Philippians 2:16 it says, "Holding fast to the word of life." If you'd like to stand, you may. "Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice in service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. To you I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." Thank you, Lord, for your word. May your word penetrate our hearts and draw us closer to you, Lord. Cut away the fats of our hearts and our thoughts, and let the lean beauty of your word continue to grow in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you have the outline notes, we have some in the back. If you'd like to grab some of those, if you'd like to take notes, and we also got the notebooks back there as well. If you'd like to take some notes and see what the Lord continues on these thoughts throughout the year. So Paul, let's continue on this thought process. Last week we talked about light being light carriers. That it's not just a light that we're carrying, but we're carrying the Holy Spirit. The light of truth, the truth that people need to understand and know that God lives within us, and he is transforming us and moving us into his likeness. So we're light carriers. We demonstrate who Jesus is to other people. We can dim that light. We can hide the light, and people are going to see us. Or we can let his light shine, letting his Holy Spirit live in us in all power and in all the truth and acknowledgement of who we are, weak, frail, but yet who he is, powerful, transforming in the lives of people. We often think sometimes if we try to handle life on our own, we think, well, I can't do that. I can't love this person. Or I can't give up the bitterness on this, because, well, yeah, you're right. You can't. You can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can. He can cut it right out of your life. He can set you free. And he can set you free in such a way that it's a glory to God, not just I can forgive the person, but I've done it myself. And I'm okay with that. But it's still not a glory, but the glory to God. But the Holy Spirit allows us to be a glory to God as we forgive. And truly down in the heart, he renews it so that we love them like Jesus loves them. And we were talking in our class today, on something that's very, very, very difficult, where people who hurt somebody else, a child or an adult, and they're in a vulnerable situation, they get hurt because they perpetrate on them, and how hard that is to now deal with that person who's the victimizer and love that person like Jesus is love. Because our natural tendency is to just destroy the person and get rid of them. That's our natural tendency. But God has a different way to confronting that person and giving them a hope for eternity, because any heart can change. That's the hope of the gospel, that any heart can change. The most evilest of people can change because of Jesus Christ in their life. When they have surrendered their hearts over to Him, He can change and transform what was gross and ugly into something absolutely beautiful. And that beautifulness is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living in the life of a person, the character of God living through that person. And there are people that I've had 20 years ago had a lifestyle that was absolutely, woo, we would say, man, I wouldn't want to hang around that person. But now you see them today and they're like, man, that person loves Jesus like crazy. They look like Jesus. They love like Jesus. And we have no idea what their past was like, because that's what the transformation that God does in the life of a person. You might see it in your own life and have a testimony yourself that we might not even know yet, because you haven't shared that part. But God does transforming work. Isn't that true? So Paul's continuing, he's telling us where that light carries. He's continuing this thought that life can be hard because this isn't what God created in the very beginning. It's broken now. But we are to carry a light in a broken world that's hurtful and hard. So we see the difficulties of life in the news, don't we? We see shootings, we see war that's taking place, we see kids suffering, families suffering from malnutrition, water is just polluted. Sometimes it feels absolutely helpless, doesn't it? It's like, what can I do? I don't feel like I can do really anything. Lift them up to the Lord in prayer. But sometimes that just doesn't feel like enough, right? But we see that brokenness, and it's a reminder of what happened in the Garden of Eden. When there's disobedience and walking away from God, there's sin that enters, and sin just breaks things down. So we see this, but Paul wants us to be light carriers in the world, hope givers to the world around us. And as we look at verse 16, I'm going to read the translation in the way it would be written in the Greek, but you wouldn't see it in your English this way. And the word of life, holding fast to, into my boasting that in the day of Christ, so that I did not run into emptiness, or into emptiness I toiled or labored. And I want to focus on the word, this word of life, in holding fast to. Paul puts the word of life first in this part of the Greek to put emphasis on this word of life that we're going to look at. And then he uses the words holding fast or holding on to, and it's a verbal adjective in the participle, but it's in an imperative tense, but it's present continuous. So continually hold on to, he's urging us to continually hold on to this truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and to never let it go. Because if we look at the world around us and we see how difficult and how frustrating and how oppressing it is, we can lose hope, can't we? Think about your own selves and the situations you go through. We've had loss. We've had loss of jobs. We've had loss of members. We've had ailments. And when they compound and they happen and they keep coming, we can lose the hope if we focus on those things. And Paul is urging the believers, be a light carrier, and a light carrier does this. He focuses and holds on to intently and actively onto the hope of Christ in the situation. Because once we let go of Him, who knows where we're going to lead? Who knows where our emotions are going to take us? Who knows what's going to happen after that? So Paul is he's encouraging us not to do that. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And he's talking about this word of life. I'm the way, the truth. The truth comes through words. It's expressed through words. So Jesus is the Word. We also see that in 1 John. The Word became flesh. So in this phrase in Philippians, the Word of life is used more so as a phrase, but it means this: the Word of life equals the gospel, which equals Jesus. We're going to see in 1 John later on that the Apostle John takes this phrase and he takes it and puts it as a title for Jesus, which supports this phrase in Philippians, and he calls it the Word of Life, and it's a title, the Word of Life. Everybody would know, you're talking about Jesus. And Jesus equals the gospel. In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is about Jesus. Jesus proclaimed this. He has sent me to proclaim and release to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind and set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Jesus came to set us free from the bondage of what sin has done, the death that sin brought. He's proclaiming this. And this is a prophecy back in Isaiah 61. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim a favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The Jewish people thought the Messiah was going to come and bring liberation from oppression from outside sources like the Romans, the Babylonians at one time. The Persians, anybody who was oppressing them, the Messiah is going to bring and set the captives free. He's going to set us free from the bondage of outside influences. Well, we find out later that Jesus, as we see in his life, as he's proclaiming this good news, I'm going to set the captives free, that it wasn't of outside sources, it was eternal, internal sources, death, bondage from sin. I'm going to set you free from those things. These are the promises. This is what Paul is saying. You, as a light carrier, you got to hold on to that promise. You got to hold on to the promise. What did Jesus come to do? He came to set the captives free from what? From myself. When people come and they share about their addictions and say, hey, you know what? I'm so thankful you're sharing about those addictions, but guess what? If you trust Jesus with your life, and you walk to him, he is going to set you free from your addiction, whatever it is. If it's a sexual addiction, a chemical addiction, if it's an emotional addiction, he will set you free from it, because that's his promise. We want it like this. But sometimes it's not like this. It's a process. And he shows you how you're dying to yourself in the midst of this process, so that when you're freed from it, you can say, Jesus set me free and I'm not going back. Sometimes when we're freed from something really quickly, it's like, hey, that was too easy. I'll just go back again and then he'll free me again. I'll go back again and he'll free me again. Right? Think about some of the sin patterns in your life. Those fall in those categories. Lord, set me free from this. Oh, I think I want to go back. And we always have the choice to go back. But Jesus says, I will set you free. I'll give sight to the blind. He'll help you understand the truth. See life the way God sees life. What's right from wrong, and be able to live in that. The power to live through it. And later on, he's proclaiming this is what he's going to do. But he also says later on, I give you the Holy Spirit so that he'll help you and teach you and walk with you, guide you, give you what you need, what you don't have. I'll give you the power to walk in love when somebody's being evil towards you. I will give you the power to give forgiveness like I gave you, because you understand what you were, where you were going, and how wretched you are in the sight of a holy God. so you have understanding, because he gives you clarity and understanding of this so that you can give grace to somebody else. It might not happen right away, but you say, Lord, help me to give the grace that you gave me. Because when he brings us to the cross and we look up at the cross and we see, wow, the Holy One died for me, the unholy one. And I don't deserve to be freed because he was not. He died for me, taking my captivity upon himself. And so the Father raised him, and he was set free to live eternally on the throne where we will worship him face to face one day, and we can worship him now in spirit and truth. So Isaiah talks about this prophecy of what Jesus, the Messiah, is going to do. And as I had mentioned in 1 John, the word of life, it was from the beginning that we had heard and we had seen with our eyes, we had looked and touched with our hands concerning this word of life. The life that was manifested, we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you, the eternal life which was with the Father was made manifested to us. That what we have seen, we have heard, we proclaim to you also, being light carriers, so that you may also have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And these things I write to you that your joy may be complete. So John is sharing, hold on to the gospel, hold on to the truth, so that your joy is going to be complete. When we forget and we just minimize what Jesus did on the cross and where we're, what the how we've been freed from, what we've been freed from, we lose focus, we lose our eternal perspective. And John shares the gospel. This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is absolutely no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So many of us do that. Yes, God is light. He is awesome. He's wonderful. But yet I don't walk with him throughout the week. So I become a liar. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Acknowledgement of who we actually are, who we have dedicated our lives to. These three families that were up here and their grandparents said, we want to dedicate our children and our lives. And we said, as a congregation, we want to dedicate our lives to be true before you, Lord. Right? Isn't that what we said? Now, we have the choice to actually let that happen in our lives. We have a choice to be what John is saying right here. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness. How do you walk in darkness when you go out of this building? What do you do personally that walks in darkness, if you do? Is it what you think about? Is it what you want to go see afterwards? Is it how you want to talk about people? Is it, what is it that you do? Is it how you occupy your time? What is it that you do that says, I have walked out of my relationship with God because I don't care what he has to say right now with what I'm doing? Or am I dedicated? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what is it that is not godly? God, do you want me to have that in my house? There are so many things that are just nominal, aren't there? They're just like, they're neutral. Well, they use this way, it's evil. Use this way, it's good. Right? You got the computer, you got the internet that way, don't we? We got TV that way. We got music that way. We have relationships that way. What are those things that you know in your life that says, okay, if I do this, I'm really not dedicated to the Lord? Ask the question. Do I want to be dedicated to the Lord in all areas of my life? Because if not, we walk in darkness and we don't practice, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no hope, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because I can cling on to the cross. in all situations in life, and I'll be okay if I cling on to Him. It's when I don't cling and hold on to the Word of life, as Paul is telling us, hold on to it, I'll start to veer my eyes and start to look at the situations that are around me and go, man, I guess this is worse than I thought. I got to handle this one. I got to figure this out. And then I'm starting to move all over the place. And I'll get depressed. I'll get overburdened. I'll get stressed out. I'll start to feel the weight of the world on me, and I'll start to stumble. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him to be a liar, and He's not in us. The beautiful thing about Jesus is this. He doesn't expect us to get up from the cross and be perfect. He knows we're going to falter. And He knows that when we falter, I have an advocate who's Jesus. And I say, Lord, I'm sorry. And He says, it's okay. That's what I died on the cross for. Let's get up and let's move this together this time. Let's not go through life by yourself. Let me help you and move you through. That's the beauty that we have as children of God. That if you have said, I've dedicated my life to God, and then you have not been walking with Jesus, guess what? God, I'm sorry. Help me to walk with You. Help me to walk out of that addiction of emotion that I have with these people. Help me to walk out of the addiction of the emotion if I have for that thing, so that I can be addicted to You, dedicated to You. And in John 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even if he dies. We're going to stop there for today. There's a parable that Jesus is going to share that we're going to look at next week that will help us to see a little bit of where our hearts can be and where the evil one wants to come in and take that holding on to and pry our fingers off. But the thing is, he's not going to pry our fingers off. He's going to convince us to let go of holding on to the Word of life. He's going to try to convince us to let go of the truth and the promises of God's Word. And it's going to be up to us to ask God for help to be able to clearly see when that's happening in our lives. Because if I do this in my flesh, I will not be able to figure it out. I will be convinced, just like Adam and Eve, to eat the apple, to eat whatever that sin is, because I think I'm doing the right thing, because I'm trying to handle life on my own, when I need to ask God. Remember Adam and Eve? I mean, they said, well, I think God said this. Are you sure he said that? Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure he said that. Why not just turn to God and say, God, isn't that what you said? But we don't do that so many times. But God is saying, turn to me and let me give you wisdom. Let me give you knowledge. Let me give you understanding so that you can actually approach life and live freely. Live with abundance. Live with victory so that you can be light carriers in the world. So I believe God wants to share with us today, to be light carriers in the world, you got to hold on to me. And I know you can go back in your life and you can count victories in your life when you said, you know what, when I held on to God here, man, I saw life differently. When I held on to Him here, He got me through, and man, it was so much easier than the time when I looked at life and said, man, what do I got to do? How do I got to fix this? What do I think I need to do? Hey, can you help me with this? Man, they just dissed on me there. Hey, can you help me? Oh, man. Hey, can you help me? And then I'll ask them to help me until they don't want to help me anymore, because I got to figure this out. I got to make it work. And I get stressed out. But when we turn to Jesus and we hold on to Him, life becomes easier to handle, even when the circumstances are absolutely gut-wrenching. Because we know the hope that we have in Jesus. And He will make things right one day. And we trust Him for that day when He makes it right. So be light carriers as you hold on to the cross, the gospel, Jesus. As you hold on to Him, don't let go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for Your truth and Your word, Lord. I thank You for the encouragement that Paul gives of to be holding on to the word of life, you. There's no one else that we can hold on to survive in this world. We will become callous, we will become cold, we will become isolated and individualized. Lord, we need you in absolutely everything. Help us, Lord, to hold on to you and to not let go. Lord, strengthen our grip on you by your Spirit. Help us to seek you in life's choices. Help us to understand your truth and not listen to any lies. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you are intimate and you are personal and you will carry us into victory. And all God's children said, amen.